This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. It's good to be here on a Thursday afternoon as we get ready for the weekend. And tomorrow we'll be in Oxford. Here in Athens last week, we'll be in Oxford tomorrow and get you ready for the LSU Ole Miss weekend and everything else. And let's get to some headlines. And there's some pretty big headlines right now. Making the rounds. Aggies must avoid a trap game against the Gamecocks. Did I read that headline correctly? I think I did. Ole Miss, Matt Corral, what's the status of him? Nobody's buying Kiffin's subterfuge. We'll talk to Kiffin about Matt Corral at this time tomorrow in the Grove. Some are looking ahead next week. Of course, the annual meeting between Florida and Georgia, the quarterback situation, the topic du jour in Gainesville. And the AAC has some new members. They went all out to strengthen their forces. How about this? They lost some big names. They've got Charlotte. Florida Atlantic, stop me if you have heard any of these names before. North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA. Mike Oresco.
It is a great day for us. We decided, you know, we had a number of schools that had interest in us, and we looked at schools that we felt could invest, that it had a record of success. Or if they were younger programs, really had the ability to thrive when they would get more exposure and more promotion from our media partner, ESPN, our wonderful media partner, obviously, to have. And so consequently, we thought, okay, this expansion is going to take us into the next decade. And how do we want to look? And we felt that there is strength in numbers, as long as, you know, the numbers make sense and the schools that you're taking make sense. We've strengthened our position in Texas enormously, and that's a very important state. Obviously, it's a football hotbed. You know, football drives so much of this. Strengthened our presence in Florida, North Carolina. Morgan, there's a better geographical footprint now in terms of the cohesion of our schools, in terms of travel, in terms of Olympic sports, in terms of other things.
Okay, so I'm just following Oresco along. So the league loses Houston, so they're strengthening their presence in Texas by adding what? UT San Antonio? Help me along if I'm – and Rice, I'm sorry. And North Texas, yeah. So they're losing, who else are they losing? UCF, a brand name, but replacing them with what, Charlotte? Oh, Florida Atlantic, I'm sorry. I got my geography wrong. They lose the number two team in the country right now, Cincinnati, and replace them with UAB? Who else? And Charlotte, okay. Makes perfect sense. And if you don't believe my interpretation of what Mike Oresco had to say, he'll join us in about an hour. Brett Norsworthy from Ole Miss Radio, we'll talk to him about the Rebels weekend. We'll talk to Oresco. Mike Griffith, coach at Missouri. We look forward to that. And two of the best players in the SEC, Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jaden Shackelford. We'll talk to them together. And your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Pat starts it off in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I enjoyed listening to your interview with Marcello yesterday. Among other things, he talked about SEC referees. And I thought I heard you say you were going to stop defending them.
That is correct.
Well, and I have a 78-year-old friend of mine who has not missed a home game in Athens in 60 years. He will go to his grave believing that Alabama has all the referees in the SEC in their back pocket. It hasn't been good. There's more light shed on them because of the cameras and all. Do you think we may have to go to full-time referees?
I don't think that will happen. And part of the reason I said what I did yesterday is that sometimes I think people believe, because I'm affiliated with the conference and ESPN, that I'm just shilling for the referees. I've just tried to give an explanation of people I know, but I'm not going to do it anymore, because I frankly don't think people believe it. They have their own opinions of the refs, and they're welcome to it.
Well, I've always said, play better, play well enough, so that one bad call by a referee isn't going to affect
your
win of that game. And I still believe that. I applaud you for being neutral and for saying what you have said about officiating in the SEC. There's too much money involved for part-time employees as referees. I really do think that we probably should take a serious look at
I think it's up to the SEC from here on, however they decide to do it. But they've got a PR problem, and you know what, this problem has existed for as long as I can remember. I remember sitting with the previous commissioner. There was a controversial ending to the Alabama LSU game one year, and he went out and hired a consultant to discuss better ways to communicate with the media. But people don't want to be communicated with. They want the right call.
Absolutely, especially if they're drinking heavily. they don't want to have anything to do with that, and I think that's part
of it. I just have always wished, though, Pat, and the NFL will do this sometimes, I just wish that when the call was wrong, admit it. Don't try, in the past, the SEC director of officiating has always tried to come out and say this or that. The bottom line is, I think people appreciate honesty as opposed to subterfuge.
Absolutely. And I don't know about a post-game interview with the officials, but I agree with you.
Why not?
The SEC, well, I mean, okay, I'm not opposed to it, but when you blow it,
by the way, I mean, sometimes it does take a little more time. By Monday, though, I think we ought to hear from the SEC or whatever league it is and say, listen, we got 98% of them right or whatever.
Absolutely. But the one thing about, I learned early in life, when I screw up, admit it. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. At least people will stop yelling at you about it.
Yeah. The conspiracy theories are just way ridiculous, but I think I'm going to take back what I said. Marcello wanted the official interviewed after the game. I don't think that's a good idea. I think you really need someone other than that official making the statement. I think the head of the officials should discuss it just like everything else, and let the folks know what we did right and what we did wrong. That's the only way to solve this, at least short term. Thank you for the call. Gene is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you today. You doing okay?
I am doing great. Thank you.
That's good. I just got back from the doctor, so I wanted to get a hold of you and ask you a question. This deal with Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee, have you heard any rumblings going on about any of that and all the information he says he has that he can use against Tennessee and set them back for years?
You know, Gene, I've always felt that in matters like this, if you're holding the cards, you don't go public. You tell them, listen, you've got until this date, or we are going to go public with a lawsuit, not with a threat. I think it cheapens everything when lawyers go off like this. And I don't even know the name of this lawyer. He may be first in his class at Harvard. for all I know, but, you know, to me, this just smells like a cheap trick.
Smells like blackmail.
Yeah, and I would tell Tennessee, you know, I think the people in Tennessee ought to just tell the guy to stick it.
You know, what bothers me is how did he get all this information?
Well, from his client.
From me.
And, you know, by the way, if Jeremy Pruitt, if he wants to play that kind of game with, you know, yeah, by the way, I'm speaking without knowing the facts. He may have enough to bury Tennessee, but I doubt it. And, you know, if he buries Tennessee, he will implicate his own client. And, you know, I think Jeremy Pruitt would be wiser to have reached some accommodation than go to the media. And by the way, I'm in the media, so I've had these lawyers knocking on my door in the past, and usually it's a cheap trick. It's just some fleabag attorney trying to shake a university down. And Tennessee may be playing this all wrong. Frankly, I'm not sure they played it right from the beginning. But at least stick with your game. Your game plan was to fire Jeremy Pruitt, basically insinuate that he cheated. Well, forget insinuate. Flat out say that he did, and roll the dice. I mean, to cave in now, what good does that do?
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me is, Paul, is he said he didn't have any knowledge of what some of his assistants were doing. Well, he's the head coach.
That's ridiculous.
He needs to know.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Gene. Again, I want to make it clear. This attorney is making a bunch of threats, but you know the best attorneys don't go to the media. They really don't. They play their cards in a conference room, sitting across from the attorneys from the other side, and they basically say, "Listen, do whatever you want. If you don't settle this lawsuit, we are going to bury you. We're not calling USA Today." We'll be right back. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And Reggie is up next. Good afternoon, Reggie.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. Same old thing.
How am I killing you?
Well, I thought real hard yesterday about it. And you say you graduated from Tennessee. And you say you're not an Alabama fan. So, like I say, I thought about it hard. You a Gator, ain't you?
How'd you know?
You're an instigator, Paul.
I'm an instigator.
I talked to Ed O yesterday, too, and he said he'd give you a message. Go, Tigers.
uh, thought he said I was a gator. I didn't realize he said I was an instigator. I'm not a gator. Robert is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Paul. First time calling. Class act, class show. Thank you, sir, for your knowledge. I played in the SEC very quickly. You talked about, I was listening to your show about officials. I think the greatest discrepancy I see, sir, is there should be some physical restrictions on some of these referees. They're out of shape, and they can't keep up with these world-class athletes. Over the years, watching very closely every game, watching SEC games, I know the line judge is usually a former football player. The head judge is he's very, very fit, but some of these back officials that had to cover the defensive backs, totally lots of times out of position to make a call. So that's very frustrating, I know, to a lot of fans. I know it's a hard job, but I just want to call today and tell you
Robert, I'm curious about something, though, and I know they have to go through certain procedures, but is anyone capable of covering a receiver and a defensive back right now? I mean, how do you get – it's hard to keep up.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, Paul. Yeah. It's, I mean,
but who,
you know,
who
I'm
isn't
sure you can,
who isn't good enough shape to do that?
Well, former SEC players.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't be that. That's what I would use as a variable.
Well, that, I mean, you know, a number of ex-players are become officials, but. It's one thing to be able to keep up with them in your 20s or 30s, but after that, I'm not sure there's much of a contest.
Well, I've just seen it over the years, and that, to me, you know, to be fair and to be consistent, that's, you need to have someone that can, you know, be physically in shape and to cover those back calls. I know nobody's perfect, but, I mean, every time I look out the field, of course, I watch Kentucky play every game and very close to the field, and it's just very frustrating that, and especially those that stay on the line and then run to try to cover a flag. I just think that there could be some better restrictions on that.
Okay, well, I think that's fair. By the way, thank you for the call. I think. You know, one of these days, maybe we could get into it a little bit more with more substance about exactly what the requirements are. And, you know, just being able to run the mile and whatever doesn't make you physically fit. It makes you able. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Interesting comment there. Let's check out Buddy, who is up next. Hello, Buddy.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you.
I got a couple questions I'll ask you, and I'll hang up and let you comment. First of all, do you think Mullen is a good coach for Florida, but they need to replace him or what? And also, the defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham, do you think he be replaced and hire Charlie Strong? He'd make a good defensive coordinator, I know.
Buddy, I think Dan Mullen is a good coach. You know, sometimes you have to determine whether he's a good fit for that school. And, you know, so far I think they've had good results, but, you know, they're not quite where I think the expectations at Florida always are. As far as Todd Grantham, I don't expect him to be around next year. I think that's a pretty easy prediction to make. Thank you for the call. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
How you doing, my friend?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I have two questions for you. One's about Coach O, and then I have one for you about targeting. Paul, how can you explain to me how Coach O can really continue coaching this team? I mean, how can you control what these players do or their effort, or what's going to keep players or coaches from not doing their best or working out like they're supposed to? Because, you know, some of them could sit there and say, well, coach ain't going to be here next year. There's nothing that can really happen. And also, isn't it hurting recruiting with these recruits?
Yeah, but
not
Trey,
knowing
let me pose this. So let's say they told, you're done, and named an interim coach, even though there's really nobody that fits that bill very well. It's still the same situation, is it not?
Maybe. But I don't know, because it depends on who the interim.
Let's say they name the defensive coordinator, the interim head coach. He's not going to be around next year either. So if you're a running back, what do you care what he says?
You are correct. I agree with you. Now my question to you about targeting. Paul, we got to do something about kicking these kids out of the football game. I mean, unless it's egregious, and maybe if they have two in one game, put them out for the rest of the game. Why don't we find a penalty box like the NHL, or sit them out for a quarter or something? And I'm not disputing the call when the guy against the defensive back for Alabama got put out very, very early. He did it, and he took two extra steps and hit him. But that wasn't egregious enough to put the kid out for the whole football game. And I just don't get this. Do you?
Well,
and
it's all done as a deterrent and a safety measure. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
I said it's great to be a Mountaineer. Paul, did you watch the game last night?
I did. It was really fun. A fun game with App winning over Coastal.
We finally beat the Sea Roosters. It's been like 2 years. out of all nights tonight, that's where I graduated from. I live 30 minutes away. Out of all nights, stay home and continue pulling for the Braves. I didn't go last night, but I can't believe they pulled it off. But that's probably the best game they've played in 2 years.
Really well. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Cheerleader is up next. Hey, cheerleader. Leader.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Thank you for taking my call. And there was a guy that called yesterday that really schmoozed you a lot more than I ever have about how great and wonderful you are. And I just have to ditto that, because you are, and all those on your team on the SEC Nation on Saturday morning. That's the best show of all of the football shows or the athletic shows on Saturday. That is the best. And Marty and McGee coming up pretty good too, but y'all, and Laura pulls y'all together, and she's just, you know, she was the great one for that. But let me change the subject a minute about Dan Mullins. Something must be going on in Florida, because Florida should be better than this. And usually when the team isn't living up to their standards, something's going on, but I don't know. What do you think about that internally?
I think when we talk about Mullen, we have to excise the fact that we all think he's a great offensive coach. That doesn't matter anymore. You know, is he a head coach capable of winning a title? And so far he has not proven that, in spite of all the hype and in spite of all the attention. And you know, does his personality fit that program? Those are questions that have to be answered before anyone can be determinative of his future. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. We thought we would get you ready for the big weekend in Oxford with Brett Norsworthy. He is part of the Ole Miss Radio Network, also does a talk show. in the Memphis area. And Brett, thank you. It's great to welcome you to the program, and we hope you're well.
I am well, Paul. Thank you so much for having me. Look forward to having y'all in Oxford this weekend when you and Laura and the whole SEC Nation hit town. It's going to be great on Eli Manning weekend.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second because, I guess there have been some great quarterbacks in Ole Miss history, including his dad, I might add. But Eli, certainly of the younger generation, seems to garner quite a bit of attention. Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, there's going to be a lot of festivities for him, beginning tonight with the M Club, the Letterman's Club. They're honoring him tonight into their Hall of Fame. And then over the weekend, all the festivities with him helping lead Coach Lane Kiffin's team through the Grove, down the Walk of Champions, and the end zones have been painted the ubiquitous red and Manning in both end zones. And he is such a treasure to Ole Miss. We Ole Miss needed him at the time that he committed and signed and played so well for him. But, Paul, when I say that, everybody needs an Eli Manning. The New York Giants needed an Eli Manning. And, for that matter, the Tennessee Volunteers at one time needed a Peyton Manning. It's just the class and the whole persona that family brings, as you so very well know. When they're around, you know your good manners better be on because they've upped the ante because they're first class, and you have to be that way around them. So Eli finally coming back after that long pro football career. We were going to do it last year, but, you know, COVID got everything last year. The New York Giants did it a few weeks ago, and they set a really, really high bar. We got to really put the festivities on to serenade the great Eli Manning.
Now, Brett, I know a lot of his family members will be there, and I'm not trying to move past any of them. It's a great family. But will his nephew from New Orleans be there?
Well, I think both of his nephews and his niece from New Orleans will be there. So I think everybody's going to be well represented. I don't exactly know what the roll call is going to be, but I know the Mannings and Oxford is just a kinship that goes so far back. And I can't wait to see Eli because it all started here for his mom and dad. It started with, you know, one day Archie Manning walked up to Olivia Manning and said, "Hi, my name's Archie," and the rest is football, SEC lore. And Eli, with meeting Abby here and now three daughters and their beautiful little son later, it all started in Oxford for him.
Now, Brett, I would argue, and of course I'm showing my age here because I was not in college when Archie was, but I was in Memphis sure. at the time. And I would argue that Archie Manning, and this is hard for me to say because Peyton Manning was bigger than life, but Archie Manning was maybe the biggest college football player I can ever remember because of the times and just his story and the songs and all the drama and folklore that followed his name.
It's legendary, Paul, and like you, I've been in this area my entire life. I was 7 years old that Saturday night, October 4th, 1969, when Alabama and Ole Miss played on national TV with Coach Bud Wilkinson and Chris Schenkel doing that game in 33-32. And I knew then there was a whole lot about college football I really liked. And then later that year, went to my first college football game, to the AutoZone Liberty Bowl in Memphis to see Coach Bryant and Alabama play Colorado.
Right.
Got to see Ralphie the Buffalo and Coach Bryant that day and falling in love with Archie Manning that year. And I've been hooked ever since. And I tell people all the time, I hope 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, I hope they're idols. I hope they're sports figures that they fall in love with live up to being the giant of a human being that Archie Manning is.
Well, Brett, you brought some great memories back because I was at that game and I remember it very, very vividly. I mean, it's funny. I forgot where I was last week, but I can tell you exactly where I was sitting at the Liberty Bowl on that cold Saturday afternoon. Let me ask you about somebody who is the idol of a lot of young kids today, and that's the current quarterback at Ole Miss, Matt Corral. And what do we know about his condition for Saturday's game?
Well, he's really beat up, and the youngsters that have picked him out, they've picked out a great one because he's just such a fierce competitor, team first. Paul, after a win or after a loss, if it's the one loss this year, he's taking it all on him. After all the wins, he's giving credit to the running backs and to the offensive linemen, to his wide receivers, to his coach that has done such a great job with him because Ole Miss was really, I mean, it's really fortunate to keep Matt Corral through the coaching changes and did, and Coach Lane Kiffin came in, and with Jeff Lebby, they've just gotten the best football out of him. But he played really a rugged, tough game last Saturday night, rushing for 195 yards, went for almost 426 yards total with passing and rushing combined, and he is one tough customer. He's not scared to tuck it and try to run over a player. He played linebacker up to about ninth grade of organized football, and then finally they got him to quarterback. And, you know, I think it'll be a game-time decision. I don't really know his official status. And Coach Kiffin, you know, he'll unveil that on Saturday. But Lane Kiffin's just done such a great job with him. And anybody that's fallen in love with him at 10, 11, 12-year-olds, they're picking out a good one because number two will be remembered around here for a long time. Now, Paul, if we put up a 2-mile-per-hour speed limit sign around Oxford, we'll practically be walking then, though.
Yeah, but it might be a lot safer at nighttime around that place.
Maybe so.
We're talking to Brett, and Brett, let me ask you a little bit more about Lane, because he's always a big part of the story, whether it was last Saturday night in Knoxville or any other time. But give us insight on him and that community. And how, I think I know the answer to this, but how the fans react to him over these last couple of years.
Well, it was a bold move by athletics director Keith Carter very early in the infancy of his athletic directorship. He saw the need for a change, and he had a laser focus for Coach Kiffin, and he went out and he got him when a lot of people were coveting the services of Lane Kiffin, a lot of people in the SEC, and Ole Miss, they were able to get him, and he has delivered through 16 games, now 10-6. Paul, I don't know that I know what I thought the record would be after 16 games or when he would get to 10 wins, but it has been at a very competitive pace. We've been in almost every game. You know, the Alabama game kind of got away from Ole Miss a few weeks ago, but all the other games have been so competitive. The game last year at LSU was a 5-point game down there in Baton Rouge, and he's brought a energy – and a style of Ole Miss that we needed. But the thing that has surprised me the most about him is just how very football conscious, football business. I won't say all business, but he really is all about the football and showing people and not telling them. He really has helped set a standard here. Instead of over promising, he is not over promised. He is delivered.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point, Brad, because, you know, he is a social media sensation, but, you know, you interview him more than we do. But, I mean, there's some times when you know, he's not in the mood to joke. He's got a football mentality. But I think that comes from the fact that he grew up in a football family. His father doesn't get enough credit as being one of the great defensive masterminds in the NFL.
It's so true. Coach Monty Kiffin just inducted into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Ring of Honor. And, Paul, I think if there's any person that deserves to be in Canton that wasn't a head coach or a player, I think Monty Kiffin could be one of the first assistant coaches to go into Canton, and it would be deserving. I mean, literally invented a defense with the Tampa 2, the Cover 2, and was so good back for Tom Osborne's teams and played for Coach Devaney and then coached for Coach Lou Holtz at Arkansas. He is really a distinguished defensive coach. But isn't that kind of the juxtaposition of the Kiffin family to have an almost Canton Hall of Famer on the defensive side, and Lane is truly an offensive genius, offensive guru. And, you know, for Ole Miss, I know his year with the Raiders wasn't that spectacular, but for Ole Miss to have a coach that was a coach in the National Football League, that really is exemplary for us.
Well, Brett, it's really fun to have you on. We appreciate your perspective and your insight, and hopefully we can catch up with you this weekend in Oxford. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul. I can't wait to see y'all. Thank you.
You better. Brett Norsworthy. What a fun conversation that was. We appreciate him joining us, and about this time tomorrow, we will just be wrapping up with Lane Kiffin. We're coming back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So that was Nick Saban joking with Aaron Suttles of The Athletic. Aaron's covered the team for the Tuscaloosa News and now The Athletic. I don't know how to interpret that. I mean, Aaron, just, you know, wear your fatherhood with pride. You don't need to apologize to Saban that your wife's not home. Just say, hey, this is, I'm a dad. Let's go to Joe next in Pennsylvania. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Feinbaum, I crossed paths with you 3 weeks ago at the Ole Miss. We always cross paths at the Charlotte Airport, it seems.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember that.
You were boarding the airplane. I usually with my grandson and my son.
Oh, yeah,
I have
do
a
remember.
Quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, you do. Okay, fine. Quick question. I know, like everybody's saying, if Alabama runs the table, they would be in the championship game at the SEC against Georgia. Who do you think is their toughest game between now and then?
Joe, I believe it will be Auburn on the road at Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think Tennessee is manageable. There's no way to know what LSU is going to look like when they get to Tuscaloosa in 2 or 3 weeks. And, Arkansas is the week before. And, they could be a challenge. But I think Auburn on the road.
I was thinking the same thing. I talked to my friends from down there, and I'm thinking about, Auburn, number one, is the rivalry, plus it's on the road.
Yeah, to me, it's the road that's the biggest challenge. And it's not hard to do the math. Now, Alabama has now played 3 road games. The last one they were brilliant in, but the other two, they've really struggled. And Bo Nix is the kind of quarterback that you get him on the wrong day, and he can go to town on you.
Well, the last time they lost to Auburn, I was at that game at Auburn. So I do remember that.
I think Alabama has lost the last 2 times they've been down there.
Well, the last time that they did lose, I was there.
They lost in 13, 17, and 19. So 3 of the last 4, all against Gus Malzahn. He got fired, of course. Scotty is up next. Hey, Scotty, go right ahead.
Hey there, Paul. How you doing?
Scotty, we're doing great.
All right. I'm going to run this by you and get your kick back. You just said my boy's name. Malzahn, left Auburn, but LSU, they that coach, he's going away from there. But Malzahn go to LSU, he can get the players he needs. He can get them bigger, faster, stronger, and he has the mindset to take LSU just like whenever Nick Saban was at LSU.
Scotty, if I could interrupt you for a second. Scotty, it is not going to happen, okay? I don't mean to rain on your parade, but Gus Malzahn will not be offered the LSU job. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Stetson next in Florida. Hello, Stetson.
Hey, Paul. Just wanted to get a word in on the thing that happened with the bottle throwing and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
You had mentioned that you thought there was a complete lack of, just an absence of outrage over it. And I'm not here to jump up and down and outrage over it, but I think there is a solution to it that would make the school be responsible, whoever school it is. It didn't have to happen just there. It could have happened anywhere. All of us know that. Everybody's fan base can get out of control. You just simply take the first 50 rows behind the opposing players. They are not allowed to have any fans there for 1 week, and they don't get the ticket sales for it. And you're going to have a lot of real upset people, and they're going to pay attention to the idea that you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, Stetson, I'm not really sure. I appreciate the call. I'm not sure the SEC would have jurisdiction over telling a university to do that. It seems rather selective, and I don't think that would happen. I think there are more punitive means to deal with this than the way it was done. We will take a break here. More of your phone calls, more guests to come. We're coming right back.